Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. This is Amy Pettit here in Palmer, and my guest this morning is Chris Flickinger, calling in from Kodiak Island. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How's life on the island?
It is blowing 40 and trying to rain sideways again today.
Oh, sounds like life on the island, right?
Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to join me this morning, Chris, and thanks for being flexible with your schedule. We've had some guests jumping around in the last couple of weeks, but I was excited to have you on to talk about all the things that are going on with agriculture out there on Kodiak, and particularly your world and what you do. I always like to start my show by asking my guests to give us a little background about themselves, particularly how they got to Alaska and their connection to Alaska agriculture. So let's jump right into that.
Okay. I guess you could say I had read about the cow deals on Kodiak, and my grandfather had came and looked in the late 50s, early 60s at some of these deals up here.
Okay.
And I had heard him talk about it, and this Kodiak deal came up in 98. I flew up and looked at it, and went home, told everybody I was packing up and going north.
And where was home, Chris?
Colorado, in the mountains of Colorado.
Okay.
And they told me, hold on. They wanted to look at some pictures and stuff, and so I had ended up with four partners, whether I wanted them or not.
Okay.
but I'm not cussing them at all. And we run beef cattle here on the island.
And so in Colorado, you also come from cattle, is that correct?
Yes, we ran quite a few cattle down there.
So in 19, then you ended up on Kodiak Island in 1998? 99,
yes.
In there somewhere?
Yes.
And tell us about the operation. What's going on over there?
We are up to 215 mother cows. Everything is sold pretty local here. We sell some roping type steers, you know, stuff with horns to people on the mainland or their rodeo groups. And actually, I just, now that Mount McKinley's been privatized, they are going to come look at some big steers this fall.
Oh, very good. So, acreage, distance from the city of Kodiak, where are you located? Give us some, paint a picture for us, Chris. What are we talking about here?
We are on the second biggest island in the nation, so we have to go on the Alaska Marine Highway or a barge with anything that goes to the mainland, being the road system to Anchorage. And we land in Homer, pretty much. And then it's probably, with livestock, probably a 3.5-hour drive from Homer to after a 12-hour boat ride.
And then when you're there, how many acres do you have?
The acreage is 31,000 acres state lease.
What? That's a lot of ground, Chris.
Yes, and we're lucky enough here that we can graze year-round. Very seldom do we have to feed hay. We put up a little bit to in case it does ice up.
Yeah.
We bring in concentrates. We're able to run down here a lot cheaper than most of Alaska, our cows.
Sure. But then getting them to market is where the challenge comes in, correct?
Yes, that is the challenge. We are making leaps and bounds in infrastructure in the state recently, and one more cog to the wheel, if you will, to really get this going in today's the realm of agriculture, I believe, is how you'd put it.
Yeah. So I've been to Kodiak a couple times. I've never been out to your ranch, and I don't think I've ever seen a beef cow when I've been on the island. So how far out are you guys from city center?
We are, approximately 40 miles to the center of town.
Wow. So you just live out there in no man's land?
Yeah. I call it God's country.
Okay. Two different ways of looking at it there, right?
Right.
So 31,000 acres, 215 mama cows. Talk to me about infrastructure and fences. And do you just rely on steep side hills and wide creeks to keep the animals in? Or are you working on fencing all of that? Or what are you doing?
When we got here, there was zero fence on the place, and I think we put in over 15 miles of fence since we've been here. That the whole summer range back pasture is nothing but mountain ranges that fence the boundaries, and of course bears keep everything pushed around. They're better cowboys than we are.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions for you, Chris. That's what Kodiak is famous for, is those big brown bears. So that's got to be a challenge for you.
That is a challenge because they, some years they're really hungry this year. There were no berries to speak of, and the fish came really late. And they killed the big base herd more than they do the calf crop, where in Lower 48, You lose more of your calf crop to predators, and here you lose your big mother.
So they'll take down a mother cow?
Yes.
Oh, man. And so do you just have free range with Fish and Game or whoever's in charge that if defensive property and animals, you can take care of it, or what's the solution?
There are rules.
We don't have to talk about whether you follow them or not.
Right. You're supposed to catch them in the act of chasing your livestock. There's it's called a defense of life and property. I believe it's a regulation.
Yeah.
And then if you do have to dispatch an animal, they ask you to skin it and surrender the hide and the head to the Department of Fish and Game.
Right. So in your years of being there, Chris, how many head of cattle would you say you've lost to brown bear? And that's an unfair question, but what's an estimate?
An estimate would be, it's safe. Some years are better than others. Some years are worse. This year we're at 4 that we know of.
4 mother cows?
4 mother cows.
Dang.
One year in February, one woke up and killed 25 in one night.
What?
And that's when we first got here. And
good gracious. That's not even like for eating. That's like for sport, right?
That one was sport killing. Yes.
Jeez. So a lot. So that's, is it safe to say that's your number one issue, is those bears?
Yes. Yes. The predators and parasites are about the biggest problem here. We don't have any disease on these islands, and it's, if we don't bring it in, we won't have it.
Sure.
So that's a plus. That's something in
your favor
that they really deal with. You're right.
Yeah. I want to interrupt you for just a second, Chris, to remind folks that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is Chris Flickinger from the island of Kodiak, and we are talking about his beef cattle operation. So, Chris, do you just have cows there on your place?
We've got 4 saddle horses. We used to have a herd, but there's not really much of a horse market, so we've toned down on that.
It's hard to find a good horse in this state, isn't it?
It is. There are some people now up north that are raising some good ones.
Okay.
So I will, you know, that's where I'm going to start looking. I guess as a guy gets older, he decides he doesn't want his brake any anymore.
Right. It's not as much fun hitting the ground, is it?
Correct.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about some of your neighbors. And I know you don't have any, you know, direct neighbors there on the island, but correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't there some guys out there raising other livestock, including bison and elk and other things?
Yes. We have the Burton family. They're a very adjacent neighbor farther out the road in town. They have bison, yaks, elk, and beef cattle.
Wow.
And we have Marilyn Gilmet. She is back towards town, 20 miles away. She runs sheep. And then the Stratman family, kind of adjacent over the hill, 7 miles from town, or closer towards town, they run some beef cattle and horses.
Okay. I remember one year at the Farm Bureau meeting when Omar Stratton was auctioning off one of his colts, and boy, there wasn't a time that I wanted a horse more than that day, but I just couldn't really figure out the logistics. But they still have good horses there on that place?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And they have just improved their herd with a new breeding, some new genetics in their bloodlines.
Awesome. Awesome. So beef cows out on Kodiak, you said you're starting to potentially expand with a privatization of Mount McKinley. They're interested in coming in looking at some of your long animals, you said. So what else is in the future of your farm?
There is an old defunct grazing lease. There used to be like 11 or 12 in the Kodiak borough. Old leases and cow ranches and straight cows. Now, I still count Chirikoff Island.
Okay.
So there's straight cows, there's Chirikoff, Sikkenak, us, and the Stratton family that are actively running cows. And on the Burtons, too, they've got a small handful, too. That's not very many.
Right.
The Dorman family had, they are out of the buffalo picture also. They're over in they were in Sultry Cove, and they sold their buffalo herd to Sikkalidik Island, Old Harbor Native
Club. Oh, right. Yeah, that got some media coverage.
Yes, yes. In fact, that made the big screen, the movie number, this spring.
Oh, really?
Yes, that'll be on Otto Kilcher's TV show.
Oh, very good.
He helped haul them.
Okay. Were you in on the action?
Yes.
All right. We'll look for you.
It went pretty good. You would think there were wild and woolly times, but it went. Nobody was maimed, hurt, or injured.
That's how you rank it. Whether anybody went to the hospital or not, then you know whether it was a good gather.
Yes. Yes.
So what I think I'm hearing you say is that there's opportunity for expansion of beef cows on the island.
Yes, yes, there is. And that if once we get a good way to move them and with other things come in, I've heard talk that there might be some feeding type operations in Palmer area or in the Mat-Su coming online to where these island cattle could be taken up and then brought back into shape after that horrible trip up north.
Well,
can't call it a horrible trip.
But it would certainly induce some pretty high stress. You'd want to give the animals a couple of days or even weeks to rest, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And get back some good quality meats in that respect. I mean, I can't take away from everybody who's raising stuff up north. There's quite a few of them, I believe, now, and I know they've got some good quality stuff.
Yeah, but I would certainly argue that there's opportunity for more. You know, I was just on the phone with, and actually on next week's show, I'm going to have a local chef on the show, and he's going to talk about his desire to procure local products and some of the difficulties that he faces. But anyway, I was also speaking to a restaurant owner not too long ago, and he was talking about the demand for local and how it's such a hot topic right now. Everybody wants to eat, whether it's vegetables or beef or pork or whatever it is, they want to know where it came from. And there's a lot of hype and a lot of talk about local, but is it really? And, you know, is it Alaska grown and does it qualify? And I'd say there's nothing but opportunity for more, right?
Yes, I do believe this, and I might be stating this the wrong way, but the Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food movement is gangbusters all over the nation anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I would challenge listeners and consumers to really take that to heart and see if you can eat in a way that you do know the farmer and know where the food came from. It's not, and no disrespect to the grocery stores that are, you know, really carrying this and sourcing a lot of Alaska grown food, but just because you buy something at the store that might say local or might say, you know, Alaskan, if it says Alaska grown, it ought to have met that standard, but you never know. We hear these rumors about sometimes things get mislabeled. There's lots of opportunity to buy directly from farmers, to buy at the farmer's market, et cetera. You guys have a farmer's market there on the island now, right?
Yes, there is a farmer's market. They do it at the fairgrounds every Saturday, I believe. I think their last one was this last weekend, maybe.
Okay.
And with the hoop house, I don't know if you could call it a craze.
Because, yeah.
But the hoop house deal... They grow a lot of stuff down here now. You know, we do not have the heat units that the Matsu has, so it's the hoop houses have made a lot of other things available here on Kodiak.
So talk to us a little bit more about that in the sense that is you guys have like a ShopRite? Is that the grocery store there and a Car Safeway?
There is only the Car Safeway now.
Okay.
There's a Cost Savers, but
okay.
It's a small, you know, deal. There used to be an AC. They moved out. They're working on a Kodiak. It's a, like a co-op store type.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Very good.
A membership drive. There's a group called Healthy Tomorrows that's doing the legwork and stuff. And
oh, interesting. Similar to what they did up in Fairbanks?
I believe so, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Well, I was just kind of leading you with that question a little bit under the guise of, you know, it sounds like there's more and more food being produced on the island, and I'm just curious about how people are getting to it. Is it through the farmer's market, or are the local stores moving any of that product for growers, or what do you see happening?
And mostly the farmer's market and private treaty.
Okay.
Kodiak is still having a hard time understanding vendor numbers and all that.
Sure.
And there was maybe only one that could have had the volume of stuff that could have, you know, actually went through and got the vendor's number and all that.
Yeah. Very good. Well, one more reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm your guest, Amy Pettit. I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and my guest this morning is Chris Flickinger out on Kodiak Island. So, Chris, we're two-thirds of the way through the show already. It goes pretty fast, and one of the other things I wanted to chat with you about is you wear quite a few different hats. A couple that I know about are that you're a member of the state Division of Agriculture, Board of Agriculture and Conservation, and then you're also very active in the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about what's going on with Kodiak Soil and Water and the activities that you guys have going on there or the efforts that you're making?
Our main deal that we are doing at the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District is noxious and invasive plants and weeds and the crayfish thing now. So I guess it's not just invasives of what grows in the ground, it's what grows in the water too. We try to do a lot of traditional things, helping with grazing management plans or farm plans if there was a new farm to come up. But we're mostly working with invasives right now.
That's a huge issue in this state that I don't think enough people are talking about.
Correct. Correct.
We see it here in the valley. I don't know if you've noticed when you've come to visit for the fair or for BAC meetings, but there are some of these invasives that are like taking down fences and wiping out fields. And it's just, but it kind of feels like, and maybe I'm just not in the know, but it kind of feels like nobody's talking about it. Nobody's taking any action unless it's just individuals.
Right. We swear that everybody's educated on the deal, and why are we spending all our time and effort educating people? But if you really look, maybe you have to, you know. I'm kind of more of a, well, there's a weed, let's go pull it or let's go kill it. And yet, you know, we find ourselves having to do more education than we do wiping them out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I haven't heard before the crayfish issue that you mentioned. So talk to me a little bit about that. What's going on there?
Someone had mentioned about 4 years ago that they'd caught a crayfish in the Buskin Lake, which is a huge salmon lake down by town. And so there was some testing in that. Somebody went and kind of hunted for crayfish, and they're big and they look tasty. I'm not up enough on the science of it, on what it does to salmon habitat. But, oh yeah, there's a healthy population of them in there. And I get a lot of jokes and calls about when are we going to have a crayfish boil. And
so they're, wow. I mean, they're really there.
Yes. Yes, they are definitely really there.
And I would imagine since they're bottom feeders and, like, you know, they dwell down, you know, I would imagine they're stirring up the eggs and or eating the eggs and the baby salmon. That would be my very unscientific guess.
Right. And that was my that's about all I could really honestly say myself is, you know, but are they good or bad? And, you know, we're told they're bad, so I'm gonna have to follow that one because I've never seen anything against it.
Yeah. So is the Soil and Water Conservation District going to take, like, some official action and try and eradicate them, or what's the next step?
We've been doing a study thing with them for 2 or 3 years now, and we're partnered with the Shunack tribe, I believe it is.
Okay.
And been doing some active trapping and getting numbers. I don't think I've been told by other people that are from crayfish areas that about the only way to really eradicate them is you'd have to poison that whole lake. Well, that wouldn't.
That's not going to go over.
Right.
And I can't really imagine what their natural predator is. Just a bigger crustacean?
Right.
Or
Yeah, it would have to be, something that you really wouldn't want to introduce. I do know pike and German browns eat them.
Oh, okay.
They're great bait.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's interesting. We'll have to watch for more information on that. Is there anywhere, have there been any articles published about that, or does the Kodiak Soil and Water have a web page or anything that we could look for more information on that in particular?
I do believe that we have KodiakSoilandWater.org is the web page.
Okay.
And I think the Anchorage Daily News carried a story a year ago or so, and Channel 2, I believe, carried a story, and then the local paper, the Kodiak Daily Mirror,
okay,
has had a few stories.
I have to go look. Maybe I'll go find some of those links to throw at the recording of this show when we put it out there. All right, very good. So, Chris, we're approaching the end of the show, and I'm kind of dying to ask you, like, to tell us one of your favorite, you know, Kodiak stories, whether it's like a bear story or a gather story or a horrible weather story where you got trapped out somewhere for 40 days and 40 nights. So it's kind of an unfair question. I didn't prepare you for this, but what's your favorite part about living out there in Kodiak?
Well, it is the part of the weather and getting trapped out for almost 40 days and 40 nights.
Has that actually happened?
Twice. I was here for about a week and a half when I first moved here, and I was feeding one little bunch of cows right across the road here. This is pre-fences.
Okay.
And you hunted the cows down to feed them in the wintertime, you know, to give them the concentrate cake that we give them.
Sure.
And this pickup comes bombing. It was all dirt road. It was 30 miles of dirt road to town, and or maybe a little more. And this pickup comes bombing across the field and asked me who the heck I was. And I said, well, I'm me. Who are you? And happened to be a fellow by the name of Bruce Willard.
Oh.
And we hit it off pretty good. And he was headed to Sikkenak Island to check his cow herd there and was needing company. And I was like, I've never been there. I've just got here. And I, one of the ranch partners was here at the time still. So he took over the feeding for going to be 4 or 5 days, and Bruce was old school and told the pilot to see in a couple days, and the pilot says, sure. Well, Bruce didn't book it through the main office at the bush pilot place, about day 10, we were thinking we were going to have to go to shooting Bruce's cows to eat, and then the Coast Guard came, but they weren't looking for us. They were refueling at their fuel stop there. And
oh, my goodness.
Bruce Willard and I got to know each other really well.
That's great. Bruce was such a great character. That's a good story. Very good. Perfect way to wrap up the show. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you being my guest this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been fun to get a little taste of life on Kodiak Island raising cattle, and we look forward to watching and hearing more, and hopefully that your plans to expand come to fruition.
Yes, thanks, Amy.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.